Big changes to the high-performance environment under which the Wallabies are going to operate. The announcement came from Cameron Klein, the chair, and the CEO, Raylene Castle, yesterday. Scott Johnson is the man to be the director of rugby moving forward. Let's find out more about that. The CEO, Raylene Castle, joins us on the line now. Good morning, Raylene.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Really well. The decision that was made, did you find the man and then create the position, or did you create the position and then find the man?
We created the position and then found the man. We have been working on a structure for more than 12 months that we think will build the sustainable future for rugby in Australia. The integrated high-performance model is something that in the international rugby landscape has proven to be very successful, and Rugby Australia recognised that the model we needed to move to. I know we've had attempts over the years and have never quite managed to bring it together with the support of the super teams, and with a lot of hard work and working closely with them, we've recognised that it's the right structure going forward, and certainly with Scott's experience in delivering that model in Scotland and also working in Wales, he brings a lot of experience to that role.
Yeah, how important was it, Raylene, to make sure that the states understood the importance of the Wallabies and how they go is just as important for the franchises, and to create that alignment is going to help everybody?
Yeah, it was important, Laurie. I think that's the piece around the success is both ways. You need to make sure that you set standards for the Wallabies, and those standards are replicated in Super Rugby environments, because you only actually touch the Wallabies for about, you know, sort of 20 weeks a year. So the other 30 weeks a year, they're inside their super environment. So you want those environments to be consistent, the standards to be the same, the expertise that you bring into those environments, be it around sports science or athletic performance. You need to make sure you've got consistent messaging, and that's what the centralised model or the aligned model allows us to do.
Raylene, what does success look like? Is it, it must be a World Cup victory? Is a final appearance good enough? Is it linked to the Super Rugby franchise's performances over the next couple of years? What have you pinned your hopes on and said, well, this is what success looks like for Rugby Australia over the next 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, well, it's all of those things, Jimmy, and it's not just 2 or 3 years. I think this is a platform we're looking to put in place to make sure that the success and performances are consistent, and the fans look and see every time they sit down with a Wallaby test match, they believe that the Wallabies can win that game. And that's the piece that's really important. You need to deliver those performances and take out that inconsistency that we've seen over the last 24 months. And I think the other important piece of this is that Rugby Australia suffered from a history of every time a coach goes, so does significant amounts of IP walk out the door with that coach, where now what we have is a sustainable model for rugby across Australia, and a coach will fit into that model and be part of it and bring their IP and add to that value. But when they leave, they won't take all of that IP with them.
Raylene, is Michael's obviously contracted to the end of the World Cup. Has he indicated that he'd like to go on, or is he going to finish up, so to speak, at the end of the World Cup? And if that's the case, when do you guys start to look for a succession plan?
Yeah, we at this stage, Michael, he certainly came out publicly and said if he doesn't win the World Cup, then he's, you know, for him that will be the end. But I think, you know, those discussions are premature at this stage.
Yep.
We want to make sure that we give this team the best opportunity to perform at the World Cup. One of the things that we don't want is the headlines to be about who's going to be the next Wallaby coach, and, you know, the distraction and media that will create. And I don't know, you know, I think the All Blacks have found themselves in a similar situation. Steve Hansen said that he's going to sit down, but they've not going to go through any sort of recruitment process till after the World Cup. That's certainly where we are, and we see that we won't entertain any new appointments, regardless of who that is, until after the World Cup.
Raylene, how is this sold to Michael Checker? Is it, look, you do this, Michael, otherwise you don't have a job, or let's put this in place, Michael, because I think it's going to help you with your job? And what was the response of Michael Checker to that?
Yeah, I think Michael realises that he's been carrying a significant amount of responsibility around trying to deliver all of the high-performance program for rugby in Australia. So he's been leading that for the last and a half years. Mm. And, you know, that yes, he's coached the Wallabies, but he's had to think about, you know, the centralisation alignment piece as well. And that's the piece that, you know, we don't want him distracted with over the next 12 months. His number one aim has always been to win the World Cup. I think he was, relieved to be able to make sure that he can concentrate on that and just make sure he picks the team and gives his 100% dedication and focus to that performance. He started something, he wants to make sure he gets the opportunity to finish it. And he knows Scott Johnson brings enormous amount of experience from the international landscape. That's knowledge and experience that he knows will be useful.
Mm. Raylene, one of the big things that we hear about on this program from our listeners is the fact that rugby have got all these players and they always end up at rugby league, at the junior level. Yesterday, I was interested to hear that you've also established a fighting fund, so you've got money to keep those young guys in rugby union. So is that a big plus for the game as well?
It is, Laurie, and it is one of those things that, you know, as you're well aware, is we have one team in New South Wales, being the Waratahs NRL, have nine teams in New South Wales. So, you know, the competition for young talent in New South Wales means that at any time a young rugby talent could face recruitment opportunities from 4 to 5 NRL clubs. So we need to make sure we've got a really good system, firstly, to identify who our good talent is. And that's a skill in itself. And then having identified that we make sure we put the support around them, both financially but also career development-wise, so that they see rugby as their future. So, yes, paying them competitively compared to our competitors is important, but also the other structures that we can put around them is also very important.
And how do you balance that out, Raylene, between getting the younger, unproven player as opposed to the player who might have played 20 or 30 test matches, who sees, and there's so much international competition for the Wallabies, and sees that as a continuation of their career, more money being paid overseas, and or that experience of going to play in a foreign country?
Yeah, that's the biggest competitor that Southern Hemisphere has, is the Northern Hemisphere. They have, you know, very wealthy billionaire owners that want their team to be successful and look at our talent here in the Southern Hemisphere and realise that it's the best in the world and they want to come and poach it. So that's an ongoing problem for all of the countries in the Southern Hemisphere, and that's an ongoing strategic challenge that we discuss with our Senzar colleagues. And we just need to make sure that the Wallabies environment is something that keeps people here for the longest period of time, because that's an environment that they want to be part of.
All right. I've just got a text message come in here, Raylene. It just says, getting back to the franchises and the high-performance alignment, does that mean the Wallabies coach, Michael Checker, can tell the clubs where to play their players and how many games they can play? That's from Jim.
Yeah, so an aligned model means that you have those discussions up front. So you agree a set of principles around player welfare and making sure that they can maximise their performances over a season. So, you know, we understand what the number of games are for that particular player for them to perform. And those are the types of mature conversations that you would have, recognising that we need our super teams to be successful. So there's no point in the saying, well, we need someone to stand down for 4 games. That wouldn't make any sense, because they need to be playing against the best competition they can play against. So it's about the structures and the agreement to have those, you know, mature conversations and make sure that we do the best for the athlete and make sure that we are ultimately looking for Wallaby success. But if we get Wallaby success, that's also when we get Super Rugby success.
Raylene, in 2015, Michael Checker had the services of the coach whisperer, Bradley Charles Stubbs, who've subsequently gone on and done good things with Graham Arnold, Trent Robinson, of course, in 2018 with the Roosters. Did he indicate that he would want some outside help, maybe go back to the coach whisperer for 2019?
You know, there's certainly, you know, those conversations when you go into a campaign like this and you've been, you know, in the normal rotation of test environment for the last 3 years and you move into a World Cup campaign, you're always looking for something different, something that will, you know, spike the players and give them that extra, you know, 1 or 2% that we think is going to make the difference. So I know Michael's investigating different options to make sure he's got the best people around him for the 2019 World Cup campaign.
We'll take that as a yes.
Yeah. Now, Raylene, what's tougher, a rugby league administrator or a rugby union administrator?
Let's just say they have their moments. Lots of similarities, though. The challenges that, you know, professional sport and community sport face in this country are very, very similar. And so many of the conversations I have every day, you know, look like for most sports in this country, are very consistent.
Yeah, totally. Hey, Raylene, thank you very much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it. Good luck with the Wallabies into 2019. It's such a big year for them with the World Cup. And again, appreciate your time this morning.
Merry Christmas, guys. Thanks very much.
Same to you, Raylene. Thank you very much.